If you're one of the millions of Australians who's lost work or is having your business or job propped up by the government's wage subsidy, the thought of industrial relations reform in the midst of a pandemic is probably the furthest thing from your mind. But the Prime Minister is imploring unions and employers to put tribalism aside to work together and craft significant change to workplace relations laws to reignite the economy and to do it all before the October budget. Scott Morrison joined me a short time ago. Prime Minister, good morning and welcome to AM.
Good morning, Sabra.
Reform means a change to improve something. Can you guarantee that no worker will be worse off after this process?
We're getting workers and employers together, their representatives. We're getting them together in a room to work out how they can make their enterprises and make workers in a stronger position. I mean, it's being done directly between those who make decisions in workplaces, workers and employers alike. And that's what we've initiated. So it's a consensus-based process.
Can you guarantee, though, that no worker will be worse off?
Well, this is a process that will just flow through, Sabra. We're getting people together to agree, to work together. So we're looking at people agreeing to what goes forward, those on who come from both perspectives. And so, you know, this is a process that wants to see workers better off. It was a process that wants to see employers better off, businesses better off. But most importantly, this is about more jobs. And what I want to see come out of this is more jobs.
And giving a guarantee, it's as simple as yes or no.
Well, no, Sabra, the problem with that position, and this has been the problem with this industrial relations debate for all time, is it quickly descends into these sorts of issues. And we need to get past all that. We need to get past the point where it's turned into black and white discussions. This needs to be a genuine process where people come together and give it a real go to see how we can make businesses work better for employees and employers. And we're providing that opportunity. We're bringing people together for that purpose to create jobs. And that's what we need right now, Sabra. We can't have those old debates anymore. And
okay,
it's the same for where the coverage of these issues comes from. That only gets in the way of people getting jobs.
Under the 80s Accord, though, Prime Minister, the government offered workers family payments, childcare, the introduction of Medicare in exchange for restricted wage demands. What can the government bring to the table this time?
Well, the people coming to the table, as I said, are employees and employers. The government is bringing people together. I don't think...
And the government's empty-handed?
No. What I'm saying is that this isn't some reheat of a process done by a former Labor government. It's not an accord. It's a new process. It's about bringing people together to see what they can agree on in areas like how we deal with casualisation and full-time work, how we can ensure that people get paid properly, how we can ensure on new sites that people will invest money in creating jobs because they can get some certainty over what the workplace arrangements will be.
Let's
this is about employers and employees working together.
That casual workforce point that you make is a relevant one. It's remained fixed at about 25% for 20 years, but the gig economy workers aren't counted as casuals and their numbers have grown drastically. They don't get benefits like sick pay and holiday leave, and many will be suspicious that this is an attempt to push more workers out into this form of work with no safety nets. What can you say to them?
I don't know why they would say that. There are many things happening in our economy, Sarah, but I think on the issue of casualisation, we've already saw it come into a number of wards now where the opportunity should be there for employers where they're effectively operating as full-time, employees operating as full-time employees, that they would have the opportunity to convert to full-time work. Now, that's a reasonable position. That's something that's already commenced happening, and it's something that needs to be done in a fair and a reasonable way, and that's one of the key issues that I'm sure is going to be discussed about how that can be best achieved.
Casual and part-time workers are often women, and many have shouldered a bigger burden during the pandemic, being stood aside and carrying more of the burden of homeschooling work. What's in this for them?
Well, I made this point yesterday. I mean, where we were most successful going into the pandemic in our economy was with job creation for women in the workforce. Workforce participation hit its highest level ever, and the gender pay gap actually fell to record lows. And so when you create jobs in these businesses, again, on the other side and out of this pandemic, I believe it will be women who will be one of the key beneficiaries, because that is what was achieved last time, where you can get better arrangements, where the businesses are successful and they can create more jobs. What we are seeing in our workforce is it is often and usually women who are getting the biggest share of those new jobs.
You were elected in 2007 when the coalition was thrown out of office, partly then because of the Work Choices IR laws. What lessons did you learn from that time?
It's very important that, you know, we've got to put down the weapons. And everyone's got to do that. You know, employers, employees, political parties, and frankly, the commentators in the media as well. I mean, we've got to get a better environment in which people can have these sensible discussions. We can't have the gotchas and we can't have all the absolutism in all of this. We've got to give people the room to actually work through this. We haven't made progress in this area for 20 years.
Sure, but
what did you personally learn from... enterprise bargaining. This is what I'm telling you I've learnt, yeah. Barbara.
Okay.
These are the things we've learnt, that the combative approach, where everyone stays in their grooves and does the same thing they've always done around these issues, and it goes for everybody in this debate, not just the politicians, not just the employers and employees, but the media too. We've got to give this a go, and that means we've got to do things differently.
The Fair Work Commission recently ruled long-term casuals are eligible for annual leave. Will the government legislate to get around that?
Well, this has been quite a significant case, and there are two aspects to it. I mean, there's the issue of people who have been working in companies and who have effectively been working as permanent employees, and that's being recognised. And then there's the issue that where these individuals have been being paid higher amounts as casuals in recognition of being casuals. And so this has created an issue where we could have very serious liabilities that are created, particularly for small and medium-sized employers. And right now, that could cost a lot of jobs and it could put a lot of small businesses out of business. And I can tell you, if there's no business, there's no jobs and everybody loses. So we're looking at the implications of that right now, and we'll work through this constructively and try and get some certainty into this area as soon as we possibly can, because certainty equals jobs.
The Queensland Premier says her borders won't reopen until New South Wales and Victoria have had no local cases of COVID-19 for 28 days, and that she says that's the advice of the state's chief medical officer. Are you satisfied with that?
Well, the National Cabinet has never agreed or never had a position that state borders should be closed. So whether it's in Tasmania or South Australia, WA or Queensland or anywhere else, premiers who've made unilateral decisions, or their governments have, within their states and territories, they have to justify that to their own citizens and the impacts that has. Now, we don't have any and medical expert advice that has come through the national process which recommended that, and so that's why premiers here are making those calls based on whatever advice that they've taken, and they would need to be transparent about that.
All right. Prime Minister, we're out of time. Thanks for joining the program.
Thanks a lot, Sarah.